Romans chapter 3, and from verse 27 to verse 31. Have you got it? Have you got it? What do I mean? What I mean is, on the first level of the answer to that, have you understood? Have you really understood what Paul has been saying? What has he been saying? From chapter 1, verse 18, he's been telling us our plight. I say our plight, my plight, your plight. I don't have to know who's listening to me. All of us have sinned. For all have sinned. You, my friend, I, all of us. We're born sinners. And Paul has spelled this out. We're under the wrath of God, he says. And the wrath of God is upon us even now. Condemnation is hanging over us. We're under the sentence of death. In fact, we are dead in our sins. We are ruined completely, he said. Helplessly ruined. Hopelessly ruined. We don't live up to the light that God has given us in nature. We don't live up to the light that God has given us in our consciences. We certainly don't live up to the light of God's word if we've been given that, if we've understood that and read that and heard that preached and so on. Supremely, we haven't lived up to the gospel of Christ if we've heard that and read that and listened to that being preached and Christ himself being preached. All that's doing to us, right from the very beginning, the light of nature, our conscience and so on, right through to Christ himself, all these advantages piling one upon another, they've all combined to add to their condemnation, because we have stifled the knowledge of God, we have refused Christ, we have gone our own way, we have worshipped created things, especially ourselves, rather than God, the Creator. And when it comes to the gospel, we have seen nothing in Christ. We're under condemnation. We may boast about our observances and our sacraments and our doings and our tryings and our works, but they're just confessions, if we could only see it, of our ruin in sin and utter degradation, the plight of mankind. My plight, your plight. Have you got it, my friend? Do you understand that? And then have you got this? But now, says Paul, a righteousness from God is all come from God. God has planned it. God has decreed it. God has worked it. Christ has accomplished it. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, one of these poor sinners I've been speaking about, he said, can be right with God, justified. That's the word, justified, right with God. And how? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, yes, the one who came, the Son of God, who bled and died and was a propitiation, appeasing the wrath of God for sinners, and by his precious blood earning their salvation, his life, perfect life, offered up on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. And all who believe, all who rely and trust and confess and commit themselves to Christ and lay their heart and their eternity and their soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from all their works and observances and resting only on Christ, are justified fully and forever. Have you got it, my friend? Have you got it? Do you understand it? Where do I get that from? Well, it's the question Paul asked in verse 27. Where then is boasting? Tell me. Where then is boasting? If I ask you, you are right with God. How do you know it? If it begins the word with the word I, my friend, you are wrong. Well, I am doing my best. I am keeping the law. I am going to church. I am taking the Lord's Supper. I have been baptized. My mother and father, that kind of talk. We're Christians. I go to church. My father's a minister and all that sort of stuff. I'm doing my best. I'm trying and so on. I'm baptized, or whatever you might say. You could even say, I have faith. And you could say that in an arrogant way. What is Paul saying here? There is no boasting. What is your hope if the answer is not Christ? And Christ alone. You haven't got it. But I thought it was by faith. So it is, but faith is the gift of God. But it's not my faith that saves me. I receive the salvation through faith. It's Christ who saves me. It's the grace of God in Christ that saves me. The Father, the Son, and as we shall learn later in this book, the Spirit bringing that salvation to me. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Mr. Muslim, Madam Muslim, your religion is a boasting religion. At bottom, it's a boasting religion. You're doing your best. You're keeping the Quran. You're obeying Muhammad, the Imam, or whatever it might be. Buddhists, Sikhs, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists. At the bottom is law, it's works, it's observances, Mormons. You're observing this, you're doing that. Papists, you're listening to the priest, you're obeying this, you're going through the routine, you're attending Mass. I know the Council of Trent anathematizes people like me for what I'm now going to say. Justification is through faith in Christ alone. Well, I didn't say it. Paul said it. We are justified through faith in his blood. He justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? That's for the Jew. Is it observing Christendom rules? Going to church, reading my Bible? No. Is it papist rules? Going to Mass? No. Is it Sikh rules or Buddhist rules or Islamic rules? No, no, no. Is it the Watchtower? Is it the Seventh-day Adventist, Mrs. White's teachings? Is it the Mormon teaching? It is Christ, my friend. On what basis? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. For we maintain, the Apostle maintains, and I maintain to you now, that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, any and every sinner is justified by faith apart from, and you can put anything you want in there. He puts observing the law, because he's addressing Jews primarily, but you can put sacraments there, you can put baptism, you can put church attendance and all these other things. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. In other words, that a man is justified by faith alone. And even the faith itself, even my faith is not justifying in itself. It is Christ, God in Christ, who justifies. Is he the God? Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. What does he mean by that? I don't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. I don't care whether you're a Muslim, a Papist, a so-called Christian, or whatever you might be. God is the only God. Allah, he is no God. Buddha, he is no God. The Sikhs' gods, they're no gods. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the only true God. And he's the God of us all. He's the only God. And it's only God, one God, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. He's divided the world there into Jew and Gentile. I don't care whether you're a Jew or Gentile, he says. It's not circumcision, that's the main issue between the Jew and the Gentile. It is Christ. And I now expand that biblically. And I say I don't care whether it's popery or Islam, the Quran, or whatever it is. The Watchtower, whatever it might be. I don't care who or what I have, or who or what is listening to me. Whatever you have. I tell you, my friend, listen to me. On the basis of this word, it is God alone, in Christ, who justifies the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. In other words, whatever we plead by nature, whatever we might be tempted to plead, our atheism, our learning, our minds, our brains, whatever it might be, nothing can save us. Nothing can make us right with God. It is Christ and Christ alone received by faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. What do you mean, Paul? Well, Christ came under the law. God has said in the law that a man that lives by the law shall be saved by the law. He can continue in all things to do it. And if he cannot, then I'll curse. And God has cursed. He's cursed me in Christ. I've kept the law in Christ. You see, that's the point. Is Christ has been cursed. Is Christ has kept the law. Is Christ has shed the blood under the law. That's what Galatians 4, Galatians 3 is all about. Galatians 3, he's cursed under the law. Galatians 4, he came under the law, made under the law. Oh, God has upheld the law. It's all been enacted. The curse has come, salvation has been earned. All by Christ, though. But now for me, it's all apart from law in myself. It's all apart from anything and everything that I can contribute. Have you got it, my friend? Have you got it? Christ and Christ alone. No other name, no other plea. This is the ground of salvation. This is the way of salvation. Christ and Christ alone, received by faith. Trust. Real trust in him, casting ourselves upon him. Lord, save me, and he will. Have you got it? Have you got it in the head, my friend? Do you understand it? In your brain, do you understand it? Do you talk like this? Have you got it? No boasting. Christ alone. Have you got it in the heart? Do you feel it? Do you love it? Have you got it? In the sense, have you got Christ? Have you trusted him? Are you trusting him? If you receive Christ by faith, if you rest your soul upon him now, my friend, you will be everlastingly justified, right with God, beyond all condemnation. But if you refuse him, you will perish. I plead with you, do not refuse him. Once again, the offer of God's grace comes to you. Have you got it, my friend? You've got the offer. Have you got it in the head? Do you understand it? Have you got it in the heart? Do you want it? Then receive Christ. And you will cry back to me an answer, and you may even write to me an answer and tell me, I've not only got it, I've got Christ. Through hearing this word, I have received Christ as my Lord and Savior. He is my justification. I have received Christ. May it be so, for the glory of God.